Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
It's all too easy to believe that our desires are exactly what they are because God wants them to be that way. That's a powerful temptation and therefore a powerful threat, and it's got to be taken seriously.
These are the sins of not quite being enough of what we think we ought to be. Those kinds of sins are easy to confess, but that confession doesn't do anything. And there isn't much God can do about it.
Without the cross, without what Jesus did at the cross, I would argue that you cease to have Christianity. And if we cease to have Christianity, we are lost and damned in our sin.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, issues, etc.
Isn't this about who loves who and who's free to love who, and you know, the heart wants what the heart wants, and why is the state standing in the way of me loving who I want to love and be with who I want to be and spend my life with the person I want to spend my life with? Isn't that what this is about? Why complicate the issue of marriage or of same-sex marriage with kids, with the question of kids? I mean, if the real question is, could you be a good parent, regardless of who you are, what your gender is, what gender you prefer? Are kids a legitimate question when it comes to same-sex marriage? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 9th of September. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us here for the first few minutes of this hour to talk about a federal appeals court in San Francisco hearing arguments on the impact of gay marriage on children. A little bit later, we're going to talk about Holy Cross Day, remembered by the church on the 14th of September. Dr. Burnell Eckert of Gottesdienst will be our guest. Now, you can join us as well for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Or for our beloved on-demand listeners, you can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Why should this court, why should the San Francisco Appeals Court there be considering the issue of the impact of gay marriage on kids?
Well, because the way we structure marriage has an impact on children and their lives, and children are innocent, vulnerable parties, and the business of the state should be to protect the innocent. And if the state does not create structures that are protective of the interests of children, then we're going to have a real problem. And so we have to at least address this question in an honest and candid way.
What are your hopes for this? This is not the three judges of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They've already heard questions about same-sex marriage. They kind of like it. What are your prospects here?
Well, I think that many of the people in the elites of our society have already decided that they want genderless marriage. People have already decided that they can mentally bracket the interests of children from the question of adults' love lives and adult sex lives. And so as soon as you do that, as soon as you say, over here we have the rights of adults to have the kind of sex life they want, and over here we have the interests of children in having certain kinds of relationships with their biological parents, their history, their origin, their cultural heritage, all of those type of questions, as soon as you say those things are completely separated from one another, then the field is clear for adults to just go do what they want, right? And honestly, I think the whole progress of the sexual revolution has been about saying that children are resilient, children will be fine as long as their parents are happy, and the interests of children need not impair adults from doing what they want sexually. And so gay marriage, so-called, is another example of that very same process at work.
Is this the same court that overturned Prop 8 in California back in two years ago?
Indeed it is.
And they did that on the basis of what?
Well, like I said, they've decided, the courts have decided what they want to talk about. The courts have decided what they want the issue to be. They want the issue to be a civil rights issue that has to do with fairness, and they don't want to consider any other question. So it's all about whether a same-sex couple is legally equal to an opposite-sex couple. The problem with that formulation is that you really can't make same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples equal in every single aspect of marriage that marriage touches, because marriage touches a great many aspects of human existence, including children. You know, marriage is connected with children. I think we can all agree that that's the case, even if we don't like it that that's the case. Marriage is relevant to children. And so to try to make same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples equal for absolutely every purpose, it's not really possible unless you already say that kids somehow are excluded from the question. And so that's what advocates of natural marriage are trying to deal with, is that we're trying to talk about a subject and bring up a subject which the sexual revolutionaries have already ruled out of bounds as being irrelevant to their concerns. And so, therefore, it's hard to get a hearing for a lot of the arguments that we think are the most significant and the most important.
So are you saying that this court should have heard these arguments about the impact on children long before they decided on the marriage issue?
Well, they should have been hearing a whole variety of arguments about the impact on children. So what they have done in various places is they'll bring forward experts who will review studies talking about different outcomes for children and say, well, it looks like children of same-sex couples do as well as children of other kinds of couples, so it's really going to be all okay. Those studies are not very good and have lots of problems associated with them, but those studies aren't even really the main point. The main point is, what is justice for the child? What is justice for the child? To say we want the best outcomes for children could mean that we go around and take children away from poor people and give them to rich people, or we take children away from people who are uneducated and give them to people who are educated. We can't go down that path, and I don't think seriously anybody wants to go down that path. The real issue is it fair to children to say some children have a legally recognized right to the care of both of their biological parents, and other children do not have a legally recognized right? As a matter of fact, for some children, the government will stand between that child and one of their biological parents through the institution of anonymous sperm or egg donation. The government will protect a child from ever knowing one of their parents. And why is that? This is simply not justice for children. And so that whole question is simply not being discussed the way it should be discussed, as far as I'm concerned. And that genderless marriage, by its nature, if children are going to be brought into a marriage where you have a same-sex couple, they're not going to be brought in through normal procreative means. They're going to be brought in. There are a couple of different ways it can happen, but to say that same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples have to be treated the same is to say that the differences in those methods of bringing kids into a marriage are completely irrelevant and don't matter to anything. And I don't think anyone who's thought about it very much can possibly believe that that's the case. It does matter how children end up inside a family.
So you're saying that these kinds of rulings and this kind of logic that the courts have used so far, especially out there in California, is in the Ninth Circuit, have run the danger of creating what, a two-level legal classification of kids, kids that deserve to know and have access to biological parents and kids that don't?
Well, that is one way to put what they've done, Todd. The other way to put what they've done is that they've made a blanket claim that biology is not really so important, Right. In order to say that kids really shouldn't care, it should be legally irrelevant whether you're with your biological parents or some set of intended parents, wherever those intended parents came from. In order to say that that intention is the norm rather than biology, you have to say that biology isn't important. And so what's really at stake here is the undermining of the concept of biological parenthood. And it's not that they're saying we're going to just scramble all the kids and take them away from their parents and move them all around. But the fact is they're saying that there's no particular reason at all why children should care whether they're with their biological parents, and there's no particular reason at all why society should protect the interest in children of knowing who their biological parents are. That's the thing that we're setting aside through this means, and we've done a lot of other things that have led to this as well. And that's why all of those things need to be discussed, not in terms of so-called outcomes for children, like do they graduate from school on time, but from the issue of justice to the child. What do we as a society owe to children? And I say that we owe to children the right to know who their parents are. The government has a duty to produce birth certificates that contain accurate genetic information on them. And the government has a duty to not separate children from their parents unless there is some very, very good reason that has a lot of protections built around it, which is traditionally the adoption institution has always had that, has had, you know, a lot of careful procedures designed to make sure that when a woman puts her baby up for adoption, that she knows exactly what she's doing, that she has the right to change her mind, and so on and so forth, and that no money changes hands. A lot of different procedural safeguards are meant to protect that idea that children are entitled to have a relationship with their parents, and that's really what's at stake here. And too many adults have found it convenient to walk away from that understanding of adult responsibility, and that's why so many people have caved on the question of genderless marriage, because they've already caved on some of the important issues before we ever got to this point where we're arguing in front of the Ninth Circuit.
I would like your response to something that one of the attorneys arguing before the Ninth Circuit said, and this is regard to Nevada's ban on gay marriage. Tara Borelli, she said that Nevada's ban on gay marriage sends a message to same-sex couples that they and their families are inferior. The ban is particularly damaging to children and humiliates them. What's your response to that?
My response to that is that we have to tendentious thing to be saying. It is something that has assumptions built into it. Okay. Children who are living in a same-sex household, let's think about this, Todd. Let's think it through. There are three ways that can happen, and none of them involve natural conception and childbirth. First, they can be there through adoption. Well, if children are adopted into a family, their legal parentage rights are secured through the adoption institution, whether their parents are married or not married. Marriage has nothing to do with that, okay? The second way children can end up in a same-sex couple is that one party could have a child from another relationship and then be involved in a same-sex relationship and bring that child with them into that relationship. Now, their claim that marriage is somehow going to secure the rights of those children to their parents is completely undermined by the fact that parent, that second person there, is a step-parent. And if you marry, if I divorce my husband and marry another man, that man doesn't automatically have parental rights over my kids. Certainly not. Step-parents have basically no parental rights, right? And so the idea that you're somehow going to solve that problem through marriage is to completely misunderstand how the law works with respect to parents and step-parents. And then the final way a child can end up in a same-sex home is through some kind of third-party reproduction, which I think should be banned for everyone, not just same-sex couples. There are injustices to the child built into the very practice of third-party reproduction itself. And so, as far as I'm concerned, that argument makes no sense at all, that the ban on gay marriage is somehow hurting children. Gay marriage itself is becoming the vehicle that deprives children of the parents that are truly their parents and that they're entitled to know. And that's why gay marriage is a problem. That's why we need to stand up and say that we have to protect the rights of children to know who they are and to be in relationship with their parents.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. Jen taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about Holy Cross Day. It's a you won't find this one on the Rotary Club calendar. You won't find this one as a national holiday. And a lot of churches don't even know that it exists, Holy Cross Day, September the 14th. We'll find out what it is, what the church is doing, and the role of kind of keeping the cross at the center of our theology, how vital that is. Dr. Burnell Eckert will join us. He's editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Stay tuned.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.